Hey there. Welcome to Her Agency Toolkit Podcast, a podcast designed to encourage and inspire women entrepreneurs working in digital marketing. Our episodes contain inspiring conversations with CEOs and entrepreneurs and leave you with actionable tips, ideas, and strategies you can implement into your business today. We are happy to have you with us, so grab a cup of coffee, sit back, and get inspired.
Hello, and thank you for tuning in to today's episode of Her Agency Toolkit. I'm your host, Julia McLaughlin. I'm here today with my guest, Allison Werning of Launching Labs Marketing, who will be discussing brand authenticity for better awareness. Allison is co-founder of Launching Labs Marketing, which offers digital and traditional marketing combined with project and sales management services. Launching Labs aims to provide marketing, wellness, PR, and sales team development to industries such as apparel, accessories, health, wellness, and fitness. Welcome, Allison. Thank you so much for joining us.
Thanks for having me. This is really exciting.
So let's dive into a couple questions so that we can get to know you a little bit. Yes. So where did you grow up?
So I was born in Los Angeles, and we moved out to Colorado in the early 90s. My dad got a job with Head Sports, and that brought us out here. And so elementary through high school was all in Colorado growing up, nature and hiking and loving everything that Colorado has to offer.
I would be in my element in Colorado. It's on my bucket list to come visit. So yeah. I love that you live there.
Yeah, it's fantastic.
What inspires you?
Oh, that is a hard question. You know, there's just a lot of things that inspire me, but I really find that everybody around me that works hard or is an entrepreneur or has an idea of their own, that seems to fuel me to continue to do this on our own as well. So I realized the other day between just my immediate family, we have 7 businesses.
Wow.
And I don't think that they're slowing down, or I think we're going to add more to that. So being in a family and a group of entrepreneurs in that way is just really exciting and inspiring, especially when it's everything from a general contractor to finance to agriculture. All of those kind of different things really inspire me, but it's that work ethic and the drive to just go, yeah, I'm going to do this and I don't care what other people think. I'm going to make it happen for me. That really inspires me.
That's awesome. I love that answer. Yeah. What is the best piece of business advice you have ever received?
Oh, I think a big one is you don't have to stay at a job you don't like. And I don't really encourage quitting something just because it gets hard. Yeah. But I think that there is something if you're feeling undervalued, or, you know, maybe there's 10 boxes that you want to check to make you happy at a job, and this job's only checking 4 of them. Don't be afraid to say, okay, it's time for me to move on and maybe find the place that'll check 6 or 8 boxes off of my list. And I learned that really early in my career where, you know, either something's not a good fit, or you know that there's no path at a certain place, or maybe it's just an industry you're tired of. And you realize, I don't want to be a part of this anymore. I want to switch to I want to go from finance to become a massage therapist. You know, don't be afraid to just do the thing that seems right for you, but also stick out some of the hard jobs because they might turn into the right job too.
Absolutely. Yep. I love that. Great advice. All right, Allison, I'd love to delve into our topic of brand authenticity. And to start, could you tell me what exactly is brand authenticity?
So it's a really complicated piece. Because it seems so obvious that you want to be authentic in your branding. But brand authenticity really just is that knowing what it is that you're selling and being authentic about it, being straightforward about it, and knowing how to explain to your target market, to your demographic, to your consumer, who you are and what you do, in an effective manner. And I think that that authenticity comes in a few different things. It is knowing who your target market is, knowing who, you know, who are you selling to? Because if you're trying to be authentic and selling a super macho product, but it's bright pink, you might be missing the mark on that. So there's that element of knowing what it is that you want to accomplish, to be able to be authentic, and then just owning it. Maybe you do want to sell something that's hyper masculine on one side and that is bright pink on the other side. And you just need to steer into that and be able to stand up for yourself and explain it and sell it, without second guessing yourself.
Okay. Interesting. So can you speak to the importance of storytelling when it comes to building an authentic brand?
Yeah, with storytelling, and this is one we really focus on with our clients, is what, you know, who you are and what's your story. A really good example is one of our clients, Stacking Gurus. They are in their early 60s. He was a stuntman. She's been a fitness trainer forever. And they have a great, unique story. They wrote a book and they came to us wanting some promotion for that book, but they didn't have a logo. They didn't have a website. They didn't have social media. And so that was what we started to build for them. And with their story, we incorporated that into their logo. So their logo is actually them. It's him doing a plank pose with her sitting on his back. And it, that part instantly tells their story, but then when you meet them and they explain themselves, it just reinforces it. So being able to know what your story is and then say it in a really confident and convincing way really helps to sell that to, you know, whoever your market is.
Okay. That's great. And how can brands build trust with their target audience?
So that's a complicated monster because you look at some of these things. I was looking at just companies that have existed for over 100 years. And one that jumped out at me is Boeing. They were founded in 1916. So they've over 100 years. And obviously we have to trust Boeing because there are airplanes that get us places safely. You know, I mean, without them, we can't travel the way that we've become accustomed to. And they've recently hit a bit of hot water with a couple of airplane crashes. And so how do you build that trust? And then how do you rebuild that trust? Obviously being around for 100 years, that's just trust in itself. So that's something that the longer you've existed, in general, the more trust somebody inherently has, because they know, okay, you've existed for 20 years. Obviously, other people have consumed your product and liked it. And most companies that do a poor job or are untrustworthy don't last that long. But then there is that rebuilding trust and trying to convince the public, hey, we're doing our best to fix our errors, or, you know, we've found the errors of our ways and we've changed, and maybe it's changing a CEO or maybe it's changing a slogan. Sometimes it can be an entire rebrand and changing the name of the company. But that trust piece it's kind of part of that authenticity. It comes in being you. When you meet somebody on the street and you're trying to build a relationship or build that trust is in the honesty. So being authentic and being honest, first and foremost, is the best way to, if you're a startup especially, build that trust from the get-go.
Yeah, it makes sense. And I would think also maybe transparency as well. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, exactly. That transparency into your business and into your corporate structure, your manufacturing, you know, we have, because Colorado, we're big on breweries. Almost every brewery will let you tour the brewery. And yeah, so just that element of transparency is helpful.
Yeah, yeah, definitely. So what are your thoughts on adding a glimpse of personal into your business branding?
You know, it's interesting. Now companies are having a harder time relying on their service or their product to differentiate. So adding personal branding really helps, whether you like it or not. Elon Musk has added to the brand of Tesla. So you look at things like that. That personal brand implies, you know, how valuable the abilities of you are, you the person, but also the people under your wing and in your company. So if you have a trustworthy person at the helm, it really can help strengthen the corporate brand or the product brand to go along with it. So in incorporating the personal into it, again, it's a differentiator. So it makes you stand out in the crowd. It's very crowded out there now.
Yeah.
So setting that apart is really helpful. And personal additions is a great way to do it.
Great. So do you have any tips for building an authentic brand?
I always think there's a few steps to take, and you know, it depends on which level you're at. Are you a startup and you're brand new to the world, or are you a 20-year AAA garage door company that is just now launching into the digital world and wanting to revamp their business, something along those lines? It makes a difference, but starting out, the consistency is really helpful, and having the end game in process or in mind. When you start with a good brand and you start with a good logo, you won't have to redo it down the road. So beginning with that end in mind is very helpful, whether it's knowing what colors you want to use, knowing your font or your name or why you named it that. I mean, we named our company Launching Labs because we loved the idea of launching companies. We knew we were working with small growing businesses and that was our demographic. But I also have black labs and they are our mascot. And so that was incorporated into our brand and into our kind of unique story and unique personalization.
Yeah. Oh, that's clever. I love that. So can you speak to the importance of brand consistency in a little bit more detail?
Yeah, that brand consistency. We had a client recently, this was a couple years ago, that they did a rebrand. They were sold a rebrand by a board member, and it was a very small tweak. It wasn't any changes to the colors. It wasn't any major changes. It was a small tweak to the logo. And they did that and didn't change any of the signage, business cards. They didn't launch the whole rebrand all at once. They figured we'll just roll it out. So now in pictures and media and that, their logo has inconsistencies in it. And there's pieces of that that are very difficult to overcome long-term, because you want somebody to be able to look at your Nike swoosh and know that that's, you know, you think Air Jordan, you think Nike shoes, you think basketball, you think running, and that's what you want people to associate with. So when you have inconsistencies, you know, on your Facebook page, let's say a big trend has been for a long time to have your intern or your very, very brand new associate handle all of your social media because nobody wanted to deal with it. Mm-hmm. And maybe that's a 20-year-old voice, but you're a company that targets 50-year-olds. And so your social media has a completely different brand identity than maybe your website or your physical building. So there's always things like that that are important to keep that consistency throughout all platforms, and to keep in mind you know, just because I may not always be the user that sees a press release, I will see the press release that got posted onto your Facebook page. So making that consistent, making sure your logos are the same, simple things like making sure your logo is displayed properly on a dark background, or a light background so that it shows up well.
Yeah.
Those consistencies are really important. But messaging and voice for me tend to be the bigger ones that I notice or that can turn somebody off on your brand.
Right. Okay. So are there any other mistakes that marketers are making when it comes to building an authentic brand?
I think one of the biggest mistakes that I see is, and it kind of gets back to that of don't give up, is doing a rebrand where a rebrand isn't necessary.
Interesting.
And I think that there's some of that that, I mean, I do branding. That's what we do. We make new logos. We do that. And I see a lot of people that get sold this, hey, we should do a rebrand. And a lot of the times it seems just so that agency can make money or have a client. And it's not necessary. Now we had a client who had the same name as somebody in the UK. So when they wanted to step into the app space, they had to change their name because it already existed there. Mm-hmm. And so rebrands can be necessary. We had one that was Vala Secure, and they're a online security firm, and they've been around for a long time and really are at the helm of, you know, protecting data, and they work with banks, and they're very, very trustworthy. Their name was Garland Hart when they came to us, and they were getting mistaken for a cardiologist's office.
Oh.
So that can be, you know, knowing your space is really helpful. And knowing that you're unique, which is why we hear all of these, you know, strange made up words for a lot of companies, especially in tech. You know, and we see that, but it really is one of those things I look at, okay, well, why are we doing a rebrand? For those people, it was, we're getting mistaken and people aren't identifying that we are security. We want to be stronger and more and show that. So that made sense for them. But a lot of people do these rebrands just because they feel like they've gotten stale. And you know, maybe work with what it is that you have, and see if it really will work for you. See if people are really having a hard time grasping what it is that you do. And if they do, then maybe it's time for a rebrand. But if not, I mean, rebrands can be $50,000-$100,000 projects. So is that what you should be spending your money on right now is one of the things that I always want people to look at before they jump right into that
line. Yeah, that makes a lot of sense. Mm-hmm. What are your thoughts on brands taking a stance on social issues?
You know, that has been such a, I hate to say it this way, but such a trend.
Yeah.
And they really, a lot of companies realized that the millennial group, which has become such a bad word, they've really loved that passion of, if you buy our dog food, we donate to shelters. If you buy our sneakers, we donate to shoes to a child in need. And it can be a really great way to identify with somebody. It's not usually off-putting, which is good. So for most consumers, if I don't generally care about that, I'm not going to be upset that I buy a bag of dog food and you give one to somebody in a shelter. Like, that doesn't hurt my feelings.
Yeah.
But it might not change my mind on why I'm buying your dog food, but it might change the next guy's mind on why I'm buying your dog food. So some of those, they can be a great tactic. They can also be a very expensive tactic. So
yeah,
make sure that you have that budget to be able to do a social justice type marketing plan because, mm-hmm. because I'm assuming Tom's Shoes has spent a lot of money shoeing children in need, which is fantastic and is what they did, what they set out to do. So is that part of your company, or is it a ploy? Because people are smart and people can see through stuff like that. So if you're just doing it for the sake of revenue or, you know, a marketing purpose, that's probably not the right reason. Mm-hmm. But if you're doing that for the reason of, I really want to help people. For us, we've spent time working with nonprofits and just that is really rewarding. So finding, you know, is it important to you as a company or is it something that you're trying to do to boost sales?
Yeah.
Which can be a slippery slope.
Yeah. No, I was interested to hear what your take on that was. I feel like when I really started to notice it was with the Black Lives Matter movement. Mm-hmm. And I feel like a lot of businesses sort of hopped on board. And yeah, I was just curious to see where your stance on that was.
Yeah. Yeah. There's a lot of very mean memes that were going around at the end of June of companies on June 1st are very, very pro gay community, pro LGBT.
Yeah.
And July 1st, they're not. So, you know, it's, are you just jumping on a bandwagon and putting up a rainbow flag to make people happy? Or are you doing it because it's something that's important, and yeah. important to you and your organization? One that I did years ago was with Head Sweats. We had a huge fire in Boulder and where we were located, and we donated proceeds of this one hat to fire relief. We did another hat because it's a running company when the Boston Marathon bombing happened. We donated proceeds for that. And even in that intended good deed, we got flack for, oh, you're not donating 100% or you're not doing enough. And so you're always going to get some type of negative, no matter yeah. what good you're trying to do.
You can't please everyone.
No, exactly. You're never going to make everybody happy. So hopefully you can make the people that buy your product happy and maybe one of their friends will be happy because of it too.
Yeah. Well, that's really interesting. So how does company culture come into play when it comes to authentic branding?
Company culture is a really interesting thing because if you have a toxic work environment, like, you know, such a trendy phrase, it can really bleed into the culture that your consumer ends up seeing. Because no matter what, people talk and they find out. I mean, Amazon has that big issue that their employees don't claim to not be very well taken care of. And it's become very common knowledge. Mm-hmm. So does that prevent me, the consumer, from buying from them? Maybe for some it does, maybe some they don't care, but maybe I'm not going to apply for a job there. And so there is that can tarnish that trust that we talked about. So, yeah. if you're not treating your people well and people are constantly talking about it, it can be an issue in the long term, because no matter what, people grow up, people move on. People will tell you, oh man, I worked for that company when I was 20 and they were just awful. Or I noticed the downfall of them after this new CEO came in when I was working there. And it really can affect that trust, as we've seen with some of this with Amazon as a prime example, no pun intended. And so they, you know, they have this bad reputation, and obviously it doesn't seem to be affecting their bottom line, but it might be affecting the way that somebody, when they see the Amazon logo or the Amazon truck drive by, the way that they perceive that company and that brand.
I agree. Where do you see Launching Labs Marketing in 5 years time?
That's a scary question. you know, with with last year, you know, if you had asked us that in December of 19, obviously nobody knew that we were going to be where we were right now. And yeah. we took a break in the beginning, you know, like everybody did. We had to stop, and then we got new clients and we've started growing again. And I think in general, our goal is to find clients and to continue helping people. We both really love the excitement of helping somebody with their great idea. And that's come into just seeing so many companies come and go. My dad's a sales rep and has been a sales rep forever. And he has repped everything from Reebok to things that you've never heard of because they only lasted 15 minutes. And so seeing all of those companies kind of come and go, it's like, I love helping those people with a great idea that also maybe are struggling with the marketing piece, the branding piece, the operations, the how do I even organize this? Here's my great idea. Do something with it.
Yeah, exactly. Well, that's awesome. Yeah. Well, thank you, Allison. This has been really interesting and helpful. We're getting ready to wrap up here, but first I have the fast five, which are five rapid fire questions for you. Okay. Are you ready?
I am ready.
All right. What's a book you've read that's made an impact on you?
So I found one last year coming back from the middle of nowhere, Alaska, that is about the middle of nowhere, Alaska. And it's called The Canneries, Cabins, and Caches of Bristol Bay. And my husband owns a commercial fishing business up there. So he goes up every year. And this book has stories about these guys traveling hundreds of miles that were from, you know, the mainland originally, and breaking down and making rafts out of sticks that they found in the woods and all of that. And it's every time I start to get down or start to, especially in the last year, get overwhelmed and think like, I can't do this. It's like, okay, that guy trudged through mud for 15 days. You're fine. And so that's really made an impact on me just to keep a positive attitude.
Yeah, definitely keeps things in check for you.
Yep.
Yeah. We all need that for sure.
Yeah.
What does your morning routine look like?
So right now it's getting up early and tending to the dogs, taking them either for a walk or just playing out in the yard for a little while, and then making my coffee, which is very important, and starting my day, making sure that I clock in, working from home. And I think everybody has figured that out recently, too, but, you know, making sure that I clock in at a reasonable time and start my email checking. And I usually run through the websites that we maintain and just make, you know, click through them and make sure everything's working right. And, start my blocking my time off, in the morning to get everything done for the day.
Nice. Is there a CEO that you follow or study?
Yeah, there's, her name is Tyler Haney, and she founded Outdoor Voices. It's a, athletic wear brand. And she and I graduated from high school, from the same high school, and she went to fashion school in New York and I went to fashion school in LA. And
oh, cool.
I'm just fascinated with her and her journey. And she was in the Forbes 30 under 30, just very impressive career. And so I always like to see like support other people that, you know, support other women, but
yeah.
She's been a fascinating case, and she's, married and in Texas and just has the most adorable family. And so just watching that along with, this amazing business that she came up with and succeeded with, has been really cool to follow.
Yeah, she sounds like she's super inspiring.
Yeah.
Yeah. What is your favorite online tool?
I literally can't live without Adobe. And so that is my, if I had to delete every other app, if I had to delete Word, my Outlook, any of that, I couldn't live without Illustrator, Photoshop, or those. And it's just become such a staple in my life for so long. I've been using Photoshop since I was 16. So it's just one of those things that I use literally every day.
Okay, amazing. And then what's one thing you wish you had known when you began your career?
I wish I had known about venture capitalism and venture capitalist funding, that was an option to get off the ground. I always wondered, especially going to fashion school, how do people start a brand? And since then I've learned that they find somebody to fund it. And it was just not something that they teach in college. It's not something that I knew about, and it would have been fantastic to know when I was 18, 19 and had some great ideas.
Well, thank you for being our guest on today's episode. I really appreciate you taking the time to join us and discuss brand authenticity for better awareness. I've really enjoyed speaking with you today, Allison.
Thank you so much for having me.
Thanks for tuning in to this episode of Her Agency Toolkit. I hope you are feeling inspired and learned something new that you can implement into your business today. If you like this episode, please subscribe to our podcast. And remember, if you're feeling comfortable, it's time to stretch yourself out of that comfort zone and take things to the next level. We'll catch you in the next episode.